How do new or orphan genes crop up in a population, and where do they come from?
My name is Christian Flötter. I work at the VetMed University in Vienna. I'm a population geneticist, and my interest is understanding adaptation and innovation that helps populations to adapt to a changing environment. That novel genes can arise at a high rate has been well documented in the literature. But if new genes arise at such a high rate, why doesn't the number of genes increase over time? Because that's not what you see.
And how do these orphan genes or new genes come about? What's their origin?
They arise from previously non-coding DNA. Basically, there is DNA there, and it is not coding for protein, and then suddenly it gets acquires a few mutations, and then it gets an open reading frame and is, suddenly has a function.
So at what rate are these orphan genes appearing? If you look in fruit flies, for example, in each generation, how many do you expect to see?
You don't see them in generations. You need hundreds of years.
So how did you actually approach this problem then, given that you've got that long time scale, they're appearing over hundreds of years to thousands of years, how did you do the study you've done?
Well, I should say, maybe step one, step back, how have been orphans detected beforehand? People were looking at basically isolated phylogenetic lineages, and they didn't look at closely related species. So what is novel in our study that we looked at closely related species that were close enough that we could detect these novel genes there as well. And so what we did, we used a set of related species. We looked at relatives with an increasing divergence age. So they were at species that split from a common ancestor at different time points in the past. The key thing, we were not so interested in the origin of the new genes. We were interested in basically asking what is the persistence time? How long do they stay around?
In other words, by looking at an orphan gene that's cropped up but then subsequently disappeared, you can ask, well, how long do they persist in each given arm of the population or each individual species branch? And this gives you some insight into the persistence time of those orphan genes. And you can then ask whether some persist for longer or not.
Exactly. And what we found is that there are several indicators that give you a hint when genes are persisting for a longer time. One was the expression intensity. So if a gene is more highly expressed at a higher level, then this gene is more likely to be persisting. At the same time, we also find if a gene is more expressed in males than in females, this gene also has a higher chance to persist over longer evolutionary timescales than genes that have no bias.
Well, how do you account for that then, given that you have seen that? And if you think that it's a surprise that those genes should cling on, why do you think they do?
That is a good question. I wish I would have a good answer to this. One possibility could be that we can distinguish between spurious transcription and the true genuine transcription, because the way we identify whether a gene is basically a real gene is based on transcription only. And then we look at parts of the gene that are transcribed and have an open reading frame. This means they have a capacity to encode for a protein. And then these are basically classified as orphans. Nevertheless, it's well known that parts of the genome are just randomly transcribed. And so it could be that if you have a strong expression, this indicates that you really look at genuine signal rather than maybe spurious signal. Because I'm pretty sure what we have classified as orphans, there will be some noise in there that may not actually be real orphans.
What about the sex bias, though, as well? Because that's also very intriguing. Why should there be a favour on the male side to keep these things going?
Well, obviously you caught me on the wrong foot. I have no good explanation. There was an explanation why you could think that new genes when they originate are more male biased, because the idea was that you need simpler architecture of the regulatory module that basically is responsible for the expression pattern of a gene. But our data basically falsified this hypothesis. So we are left with an observation that's very difficult to understand.
Broadly, what do you think the implications are of what you've discovered? How would you, in a nutshell, say this is important because?
The importance of novel genes has for a long time been neglected. And so I think really to understand novelty in evolution, these new genes are probably one of the key factors that we need to understand better. And our study has made a major step in showing that these genes can persist for some time, but not all of them do. And these novel genes, if you apply population genetic tests, we see that there is selection preventing mutations occurring in these genes. And this is the best indication that there's something really functional.
Christian Schlotterer from the VetMed University of Vienna.